Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 59, Episode 5 of
The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google, and social meds. It's Friday, November 30th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O. Buttplug, courtesy of super producer Anna Hosnier, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Thinking of Miles Gray and all the downs I gained. What a fuego take. We are second rate. We'll be dissing you.
Wow. Pretty.
And that was the song by Puff Daddy featuring Sting. He was really kind to have let Sting on that, man. He needed that boost in his career.
Yeah.
Thank you to at Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi, Maine. See you out there. Thank you for that.
See you out there. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny comedian Blair Saki.
Sakai.
Shit. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Okay.
The first time.
Cool. Did you say Sakai?
Sakai, like
the salmon.
Yeah. Yes. Blair, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. It's a rainy day, you know, we needed one. And as you can see by my garb, I do lean in hard to a rainy day.
You are bundled up.
I was like, you definitely need a local.
You look like you just
like the rain. You got the beanie on, like fucking winter coat.
You look like you just skied down the mountain into our studios.
I'm a cozy ass bitch.
I like that. Did you brand that? You should trademark that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cozy ass bitch.
I'm really known as a very cozy girl.
Should I reintroduce you as a cozy ass bitch and hilarious comedian, Blair Saki?
Sure. Yeah.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better, but first we're going to tell our listeners some of the things we're talking about today. We're going to do a long overdue update on Benghazi.
Benghazi.
We are going to talk about Michael Cohen and just what he has taken the advice we've been giving everyone for a long time, and he has stopped snitching, or stopped lying, I guess.
Yeah.
More accurately.
Started snitching.
Start snitching, stop lying. Roger Stone also might be in some hot water. And then after all this serious talk, we're going to talk about how that cow's fucking huge, man. That cow's fucking huge.
What the fuck is wrong with that thing?
John Kaczynski worked out naked in the Rocks gym, but that's actually not the interesting part of the story. The interesting part is that the Rocks workout equipment is apparently from the future.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Hostess Cakes launching cereals. Just
that no one asked for.
Diabetes with milk. And we're also going to talk about, okay, Steph Curry, we get it. You're the best. You're such a good guy. No, he's just a really good guy. And we're going to compliment him on it. But first, Blair, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, first it was like a porn. And so then I was like, I can't say that.
Yeah, you can.
Because a family member listens to this.
Okay.
But the next one was a little peek. And that's because...
Also a porn?
No. Okay. But that's because I wanted to write that and I wasn't sure which peak it was. So I had to double check because I'm not trying to embarrass myself out here.
Okay. A little peak being a like small mountain peak that you can climb?
No, like a sneak peek. So I had to double check spelling before I laid it all out there on on social media.
Yeah. And then they're like, she can't even spell right.
Yeah.
Right.
What were you trying
just
to
do? Checking the grammar.
Yeah, I wanted to check the spelling, so.
Got it.
So I know that was a mind-blowing Google search, but.
That is.
Yeah.
What kind of porn were you Oh, no, sorry. We're worried about your parents listening.
We don't want to ruin your image.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, I picked two, which is funny that you brought up Steph Curry, but first is Triscuits, really not a good cracker. A lot of people vehemently defend them, but they taste like fucking straw. And if I wanted to eat straw, I would go blow a fucking tumbleweed. So they're really not good. Wheat Thins are better. I like to cause a lot of division with this, but it's true and it needs to be heard.
Have you had the Triscuits with the rosemary? And those are actually not
I mean,
bad.
They're slightly improved. But
yes.
And then everyone's argument is always like, oh, yeah, you know, you melt a little pepper jack on there. And I'm like.
Everyone's argument.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, bitch. How about you have enough self-esteem and find a standalone quality cracker,
wow.
You know? So I feel strongly about that.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Oh, and then the other one was dating NBA players. I think that's overrated, and we should enact a pussy ban for them.
All NBA players?
Yeah, except for Steph Curry.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, except for Steph Curry. Okay.
But he can only fuck his wife, because I like to uphold the sacrament of marriage. I feel strongly about
it. Okay, that is good.
Wait, so what happened with NBA players that you came to this moment?
Look, I haven't banged any of them personally, but on behalf of other women who I am sure have had their feelings hurt,
right.
I will think that we should not continue falling into this. I am upset for Chloe with Tristan Thompson. I think, you know, the night before her labor, I mean, wow. So
wait, is that when it happened?
One of the times.
Yeah, one of the times, right.
Shit.
Yeah, but I think we should all, as women, start fucking like accountants instead.
Accountants? Yeah. Mm.
What?
I don't know.
There's some weird accountants out there.
Somebody has to deal with the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess.
I guess there are some good accountants out there. Gang accountants, reach out to us.
Yeah.
Shame me. Let me know.
Is there like a hot accountants IG account?
Right. Like accounting firm that is like all like really cool dudes.
Accounting
like,
firm.
Yeah.
My guy.
With like the morals of Steph Curry.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
And the mouth guards.
Yeah. Yes. So we're just asking for a dream man.
Yeah. Reach out to me. You can find me on the internet.
Yeah.
Balance my account. And your jump shot is wetty? Wow.
What is something you think is underrated besides accountants?
First thing that comes to mind is my feet. I really have gorgeous, gorgeous feet that a lot of people probably would like to see in their lives, but don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
I hate when my personality overshadows my gorgeous feet.
I mean, did you wear sandals today?
No, I didn't. I actually wore socks with an insulated boot for the weather.
There you go.
Are you on WikiFeet?
I am, yeah.
You are?
Someone told me I was, and then I was like, who the fuck went through all my pictures and cropped my feet?
Wow. Well, you'd be surprised. People are out here really looking for that foot tent.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. You were saying before that you are friends with one Lil Zam, a.k.a. Jamie Loftus.
Oh, yeah. We're friends through comedy. I don't know her super well, but, you know, we're
Her feet have also come up, and she's a fan of her own feet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I know she has that show, but I don't know what the angle was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got 4 stars on WikiFeet.
Woo! Okay.
4 out of what?
Out of 5.
Dude, fuck that noise.
Yeah, you're on nice. You're not quite in the beautiful category.
Well, maybe they need to look a little closer.
Okay. Well, whatever the mystery was about how you ended up there, now you are about to be a very hot item on WikiFeet, I would imagine.
I also think that Hawaiian pizza is underrated.
Oh, okay. That's
really
interesting.
Yeah.
You, what, okay. I feel like people think really love Hawaiian pizza.
Well,
I really love
it's
it.
Polarizing.
Yeah.
I do, you know, like to strike a match in some of these very political conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
But I love a Hawaiian pizza. I mean, whoever came up with that extremely unlikely combo, well done.
Uh-huh.
Well, shout out to them.
Yeah,
I hope it was someone from Hawaii.
Right.
And not to someone be like, hey, man, pineapple on fucking Hawaii, dude. Yeah, it's Hawaii.
Right.
It's like the least creative, ignorant chef.
I do feel like there's, like, the culinary world is coming around on, like, pizza with spicy meats or, like, with meats and honey on mm-hmm, them and shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, people who are on the Hawaiian pizza wave.
But that's hot and sweet. This is just sweet and salty.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge...
It's meat
pineapple
and sweet.
Guy. Yeah.
Meat and
all
sweet.
Right, meat and sweet.
Once a month, I like to order a large Hawaiian pizza, lock myself in my apartment, close the shades, and just eat it throughout the day.
Where do you prefer your Hawaiian pizza?
Where
to
you
be
get it from?
Oh, I don't even know since I moved here. So
it just appears?
It's just kind of it's just kind of been from anywhere.
Domino's.
On Postmates. I can't even remember the name. I wouldn't say that I've found any sort of incredible source here. I'm a pizza connoisseur, but this is like shitty good pizza.
Yeah.
You know?
I've lived here for a while. I have to recommend this place, Domino's.
Thank you.
Their thin crust is good.
Little hole in the wall place.
Yeah, oh, good.
Wait, where is the best Hawaiian pizza in your estimation?
I don't know.
Oh,
like,
you just eat it all. And you're like, fuck it. It's good
or
bad.
Yeah, because, you know, I just moved here from New York in January. And, like, I really know all the New York spots
hard.
But here, I don't know it all. I don't know any pizza here. I actually need to find out.
Okay, if you want the most gourmet shit, top shelf, that's Pizzana. Okay?
Right.
Out in Brentwood or Westwood.
Really?
Wait, Brentwood?
Brentwood? Yeah.
Okay, shout out to James over there.
Yeah,
also, Prime Pizza on Fairfax is also okay. You don't like Prime? Go on.
Just doesn't like Prime numbers.
We're just talking. I'm not here to,
not a fan.
I'm not doing an ad
for them. I don't know. I don't want to hurt anyone. I have a good heart.
Already said the Triscuit thing. It's too late.
Yeah,
you
but I don't know if anyone from Prime is listening.
No,
I think you're a good establishment and you're good people.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. They make good t-shirts.
Off mic.
You
let
just
me
don't
know.
Like. Well, I mean, the thing is, I was going to ask you what your favorite pizza is in New York, and we can talk about that off mic, but I'm curious. I bet we have totally different tastes because I have never once ordered a piece of Hawaiian pizza in New York.
Can I be straight with you? I don't eat Hawaiian pizza outside of the delivered to my apartment.
Oh, okay.
When I'm out in the world, I have a completely different order.
Oh, okay. So this is your private shame or private thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, got you. I feel that.
All right. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I was really racking my brain for this, and then I decided beer before liquor, never been sicker, is not true.
Yeah.
Liquor, never been sick. Oh, right. If you end the night with licks after you've been having some brews, that it will make you super twisted and
yeah.
Right.
I mean, isn't just mixing all
liquor
kinds
before
of
before beer, never fear.
Yeah, is that
no,
true?
None
Does
of that,
that hold
shit
still?
Matters. Yeah. No.
Beer
I don't
before
think
liquor,
so.
Never just... sugar. Liquor before beer, never fear.
I don't know.
Never fear what?
I never threw up enough. I should have thrown up more because I would always like poison myself because I would drink too much and then my stomach wouldn't reject it. So I never really got any of that stuff. But
Wait, so you're saying if it is Never Sicker, you're saying go for it because ain't shit going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I also don't do shots, you know?
Right.
It doesn't, you can't be cozy and do shots.
Right.
But yeah, so that I think that might just be for
you just
the
drink
shots
a whole
people.
Fifth real slowly.
just like, have a
I'm not a
Jameson,
monster.
just in a wine glass.
Yeah.
You're just
I move at my own pace.
Yeah, but I drink about a fifth of Hennessy every night. I'm just not doing shots like a maniac.
Cozy is what's the country that cozy is like a really
Denmark.
Big deal? Denmark.
Oh really?
Hoogie or Hugie.
Like
Hoogie.
Yeah, they
I'm botching
whole,
it. It's, the whole culture is built around the idea of being cozy and like shifting. Like the culture is around being cozy, especially during the winter, of eating good food, having warmth, having friends.
You got to go there.
I have, this podcast is truly illuminating. I have never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. Search H-Y-G-G-E on the internet. There's like books about it. And I can tell you're a cozy gang. Yeah.
And
so,
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
Here I am finding this out.
And look, and I just found this ticket to Denmark. <on the floor.
laughs> And, you know, a lot of people, I have to say, a lot of people will come in here, guests on the Daily Zeitgeist, and claim to be cozy. But you actually,
you
come
it.
Off as so cozy.
Wait till y'all see this picture.
Just, oh, my goodness. One of the coziest seeming and conveying human beings I've ever met.
I just try to be real.
Yeah.
You know?
Stay on brand.
All right, guys, let's check in with Men in Gas.
Uh-oh.
It's been a while, and it not that... Not because nothing's been happening, but we wanted to check in with one Leslie Moonves because it's really starting to get to like Weinstein levels with this dude. He's just basically sexually assaulting women nonstop and just being like, "I'll cast you on a CBS show if
like as a
that seems to be his
consolation
pattern.
Thing."
Yeah. Because we're just now finding out from women who are like, yeah, and then I quit because that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I quit acting. But
wasn't before like it was he was trying to act like it was like a couple things and he didn't really remember shit. And
it was
like,
consensual. And
right,
that's what he's saying about this young woman who at the time was, I think, in her early 20s in 1992. She was up and coming and got a meeting with him. She didn't know he was like this big, powerful guy. And the quote is, he said, "Be my girlfriend and I'll put you on any show." Then he grabbed her by the neck, pushed her to her knees, and forced his penis into her mouth. And then the other awesome quote from him is, because he's worried about his $120 million payout from CBS, like they fired him, but he has it in his contract that he gets $120 million. And he said, "I think I'll be okay. But if Bobby talks, I'm done." And Bobby is the woman who he's talking about there.
So
wait, when did he? Who did he say that to?
To Bobby's manager, who he was trying to like work with.
Yeah.
It's actually
oh, to
it
like
also,
keep it like on the low.
Right. It exposes this whole sort of weird like system where managers and
right.
like agents work with the
these, predators
like,
yeah
yeah work with the predators
because they all get like, a check too
right and so Moonves knew
they do
well, yeah, if you're an agent or whatever and
oh,
like they're
well,
on
you
a
get
show
a commission.
Yeah so for you it behooves the manager
I was
to be
like they get a mouth shut check
right yeah. so this manager was like you know he knew that something went on so and he knew that Moonves knew that so even though this actress was not like trying to get any roles and wasn't getting anything. Moonves was basically paying this guy off by giving his other clients work. And he like specifically at one point in the article says, "Come on, man, we got to make you some money." Like,
wow.
So he's
Ew.
Just, yeah.
Also, so, but is his exit package of $120 million, is that still up in the air? Like,
it's still up in the air. Because
CBS has to, well, at the time, they're like, "We're going to do our own investigation,"
yeah, yeah.
quote unquote, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yo, don't fucking pay this man a fucking cent.
Right. Like, who is going to possibly blame you for not paying him anything? And
also, do they name this manager or whatever who's been out here?
He named himself. He apparently, like, he's old and seems like he's sort of a
not
all there type guy.
Oh.
Like, an elderly dude. He mainly represents, like, daytime TV actors and actresses. And,
right.
But the story's weird because it like has all these details about this dude, like went to the spam museum when he was on vacation and bought a t-shirt for like Les Moonves and his kid and like brought it back to them like, hey, here, I got you something. Just like he was like trying to get in Les Moonves' orbit for so long.
What a creepy fucking gift.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's just an all around creepy, problematic relationship that once again just proves why Hollywood is the grossest town in the world. And just talking about what you were saying with the CBS internal investigation. So Tom Brokaw apparently has some shit in his closet. There is a NBC journalist who claims that he sexually harassed her. And she is coming out and basically asking Comcast, the parent company of NBC, to conduct an investigation with their own outside counsel rather than like leaving it up to NBC to investigate itself. Because
why would they do that?
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the most, she just in her statements is making tons of sense.
Right.
Like, everyone should be forced to have external investigation because if it's your company, how are you incentivized to find like terrific acts of terror?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially when you have stuff like in CBS's case, they're like, well, look, if we can find a way, like, you know, they're looking at a $120 million package. How do they balance that? Do they pay him? Do they not? You'd think in the CBS case, it would behoove them to be like, well, we're not going to pay you because we don't even want to pay that money out. Or, but even then, just to have, it's like anything we've seen over the last, all of the time.
Right.
That, yeah, these companies that are doing the, or have employees that are doing bullshit, they just do their own investigation, sort of obscure things to, you know.
And not, they're like, wow, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I guess this guy will keep working.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, have a good weekend.
I don't get also, like, do they have to pay? Like, why would you have to pay a fucking horrible predator $120 million? Why do you have to pay a criminal?
Because he has very good lawyers, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they write these contracts that are just sort of like, even in the event of criminal behavior, it's right. Like, there's this agreement.
Before any of this shit comes out, he's like got negotiations, and he's probably negotiating about stuff like, if I get fired for cause, and I won't, trust me, but let's just say right. A thing or two comes out, then let's just have it in there that I still get that 120 large.
Right.
Yeah, and he's like, and also I did kill two people, but
with my dick. Yeah, I apologize.
That's gotta be worth something,
right? He also did this a very similar thing to a medical student at UCLA who was like doing a physical exam on him. He like sexually assaulted her while he was supposed to be just getting a regular physical exam, and she eventually came out. She was one of the first whistleblowers.
Right. And like UCLA was trying to be like,
UCLA basically just, they were like, he's very powerful in this town. So
shout out to my alma mater.
Try harder, UCLA.
Me too.
Yeah.
My wife's alma mater too. The literal medical school.
Oh, really?
So come on, guys. Do better. Yeah. Jeffrey Epstein. We don't have time to talk about him, but keep an eye on that. There is a 5-part series that was reported by the Miami Herald about this. So Jeffrey Epstein is a billionaire who used his money and power to run pedophile sex rings. And, you know, they have implicated Bill Clinton. They've implicated Donald Trump. All sorts of, like, Katie Couric was having dinner at his house, like, after the accusations came out. It's just this really weird thing that will make you feel terrible about any piece of media that you've ever consumed. Alan Dershowitz, who will come up in a little while, also very, very implicated in that story, as well as people on both sides, George Stephanopoulos, Prince Andrew, Chelsea Handler was like hanging out at his house. Again, these are
not
people,
but just in orbit of this
club,
guy.
But they're in his orbit. They're all part
of
that's
not good for Alex Acosta because I think they were looking at him as a possible attorney general pick.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Trump's former labor secretary, and he is heavily tied up in the Jeffrey Epstein story. So anyways, that'll be our book club of the next couple weeks. Read the 5-part Miami Herald investigation into this dude's story, and then we'll talk about it on a future episode. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And Miles, what
Jack,
the fuck is going on?
Man.
In the Trump.
What a fucking week it has been in terms of the Mueller investigation and all these people who have been either pleading out or lying or not lying. Well, on Thursday, there was a development where Michael Cohen pled guilty to lying to Congress about his dealings with Russia. And a lot of the people who were in the courtroom and just were doing the reporting in and around it, they said he looked very different. Like, his demeanor was that of a person who was very relaxed. Like, prior, the dude looked like walking diarrhea when he would enter the courthouse.
Yeah.
But this time, they're like, he looks a little bit lighter, like a burden has been taking off. And they're probably to do with the fact that he's basically now been fully flipped by Mueller and is just telling him whatever he knows about what's been going on. And so, in the beginning, I think, you know, he was telling Congress that, you know, he didn't know much about Russia and like this deal that about a Moscow tower was like it wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
It was a wash. There's no need to worry about it because it wasn't anything to begin with. Well, now we realize that there is a lot more to that he had basically, you know, what had actually gone down. And this plea that he's made is like the first real piece of connective tissue between Russia and Trump's camp, because before, Cohen pled out to like a bunch of tax fraud and like paying people off having to do with Trump's, you know, like affairs and things like that. But this is him saying, yes, I was speaking with Putin's right hand, Dmitry Peskov, about this tower thing. And, you know, I know I said in the beginning I had stopped talking to the Russians in January of 2016, but it turns out I was talking to them up until June of 2016. Also begins saying that, also said that members of Trump's family were also aware of these interactions. Now,
Barron? Who are we thinking?
Yeah, fucking Bear, Tiffany, for sure.
Baron and Tiffany, going down. They're the brands behind the whole operation.
The evilest ones in this whole shit.
Right, right.
But yeah, there was just sort of this whole thing is interesting because the charge itself isn't like the biggest of all the things that Michael Cohen is facing in the like plethora, the pile of shitty behavior that he's guilty of. But what everyone is saying, a lot of these legal experts are saying that like, you know, that Mueller is basically laying the groundwork for really coming after other people in Trump's orbit. Because once you have Michael Cohen on wax saying, yeah, I lied about this stuff because I did in fact do X, Y, and Z. I talked to these Russian people about this thing. You have that committed. He's saying he was fully guilty. He's cooperating. Now you can take that when you go after other people who might be co-conspirators that are involved. Maybe right. Don Jr., maybe other people like that. And right. There's a lot of reporting, I think, a month ago where Don Jr. was very nervous about what was going to happen with him in the Mueller investigation. Another thing is that people were noting was the fact that this little thing is only one of the things they're sure that Cohen has been talking to Mueller about. Like it's quite literally like the tip of the iceberg where you're just seeing this part.
Yeah.
And that's just step one of what's been going on.
He's been given 70 hours of very helpful testimony, been described as. And 70 hours long conversation.
From Michael Cohen's?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's how many episodes? That's 70 episodes of the Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah. That's a lot. That's multiple months.
That's wild. Man, he has a lot to spill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could tell that Trump was fucking, you knew that Trump was clearly upset, disturbed by this development because he's on his way to the G20 summit in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Wow.
And
yeah, that pronunciation.
It's all about that. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So before he gets on the plane, he had to just stop by the press and just take one shot at Michael Cohen, which was very telling about what might be going on in the president's mind.
Go back and look at the paper that Michael Cohen wrote before he testified in the House and or Senate. It talked about his position. What he's trying to do, because he's a weak person and not a very smart person, what he's trying to do is end, and it's very simple, he's got himself a big prison sentence, and he's trying to get a much lesser prison sentence by making up a story. Now, here's the thing. Even if he was right, it doesn't matter, because I was allowed to do whatever I wanted during the campaign. I was running my business, a lot of different things, during the campaign. So very simply, Michael Cohen is lying and he's trying to get a reduced sentence for things that have nothing to do with me. Now,
so even if he's telling the truth and the truth being a thing that I have lied about, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because I was allowed to do that anyway.
I was allowed to because...
Well, when I cheated, I thought when you hung up the phone like that, we were broken up in my mind. Right. So that's why I did that.
Right. And also if he says... The only thing he was lying about was shit on behalf of him. So right. How is that? He's saying he has a huge jail sentence
right.
for like what he was doing for him.
Right. Right. And then he goes, well, he's weak because then he's, I'm assuming, referencing people like Paul Manafort who have just been lying to Robert Mueller in his investigation and just being like, yeah, I'll fucking bury me under the jail.
Yeah.
And then because he thinks he's getting a pardon or something.
He's getting a pardon.
I mean, 100%.
It is 100% going down. Manafort is getting away with all of this.
I mean, we'll see, though, because super producer Nick Stumpf, I think we were all talking about this, about how him and, like, Jerome Corsi's of the world, if they think, like, Trump is going to come and save them, like, when he has so many other things going on, that might not be a deal worth taking. And I think Michael Cohen, knowing Trump, was like, yo, I'm not counting on this dude for a fucking pardon. Like,
oh, he turns on anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a very, very sticky situation. So the other weird thing about what Trump was saying was he was like, listen back to what he said to Congress earlier.
And he's that's, like,
that's
the
truth.
Right.
Then Rudy Giuliani makes a statement and is like, well, this motherfucker's a liar. No wonder he lied to Congress.
Uh-huh.
And that's, he's,
so they can't even get their own story straight.
It's such a fucking mess, man. It stresses me out as like a kid who would lie a lot.
Yeah, you know as I mean? A liar. This
yeah,
is
like,
very...
very stressful. Like when the shit starts falling apart and you're like, oh, y'all didn't even do it right.
Right.
Y'all did the lazy version of telling your mom you're going to this person's house when you're really, you know, getting fucked up at some other place. So the other interesting thing that I will point out is I point out many interesting things, as I've said like 9 times already, is that like everyone's trying to, I mean, the White House or like the line about this, all these meetings was about some Trump Tower Moscow deal or whatever. Yeah. When that's a weird thing. Like, you were doing all this legwork for a deal for a building that failed, when the stakes on the other side is that Russia would want Trump to be president to change our foreign policy. It's just an odd, like, the reasoning is weird. Like, was there even a Trump Moscow deal, or was that
money
coded
laundering
language for something? Oh. You know what I mean? Like, that it's a greater scheme, because clearly our foreign policy has shifted since Trump has taken office in terms of Russia. He can't say a bad fucking thing about Putin ever. He's been trying to, like, at every turn, doing the most tepid sanctions and trying to reverse them, or suggesting eliminating the sanctions. So he's not like it.
Trump Tower Russia is code for their solidarity and standing tall together.
Right. It's like, yo, you help me out.
The Western world.
Right. He's like, I can help you out with whatever. You some financial trouble or whatever. Right. I'll make you president. You start, you know, just turning a blind eye to when I'm just committing open acts of aggression against other sovereign nations.
Right.
And then, which is funny, because then right after that, Trump basically canceled his meeting that he was going to have with Putin in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Canceled the public meeting.
They're not. I think they're going to have like a working lunch or something. Yeah, again.
Helsinki 2.
Yeah, it was Helsinki 2. And Robert Mueller did the same shit when he was about to meet with Putin the last time, of dropping like indictment announcements. Maybe just to frame what all these interactions look like. He's like, oh yeah, here's another tidbit about these two.
See, I told you, Mueller's framing him. Exactly. My point exactly.
Right.
Going with the thing we talked about yesterday about the right now just fully no longer even really trying to claim that Trump is innocent and just basically being on the full like bad guy wave now. The headline on Drudge this morning is "The Rat Sings." They're just like talking about people cooperating with an investigation like they're mobsters.
Yeah.
Gives Mueller 70 hours of testimony. And then they are also writing about, there's a Breitbart story about how Trump firing Mueller wouldn't be an impeachable offense. It would be, and it's Dershowitz who's talking on Fox News. And they're basically like, they've moved beyond the idea of, you know, whether any of this is true or whether their president is an actual criminal. It's just all about getting away with it. And so on Drudge Report, and this was the top headline on Breitbart, it was all about how Dershowitz claimed it wasn't an impeachable offense because it wasn't technically a crime. He is like, but it would be really bad politically for him. But maybe not. Not with you guys, apparently.
I just love that it's the rat sings. Like, it's so clear. It's like, we're the mob.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're the police.
Yes.
We do fucking dark shit.
But it's, you know, Trump's not really giving them any other option, because everything he does now is just so clearly the behavior of a guilty person. So they just have to go with it. They're like, yeah, fuck you, Kappa.
Trump is just like, even if I did do it.
Right. Dog.
It's like it's the most aggro bro you want to like just avoid.
Right.
It's like, did you key my car? I don't know, dude. And even if I did, what's the deal, dude?
Yeah,
cheat on my sister.
Right.
The other thing too is Roger Stone is also making it hot for the president again, because there is a Washington Post article that's talking about how often him and the then candidate Trump would like spend time on the phone like late at night from his blocked number or whatever. And a lot of these calls are coincide with the time that we see from Jerome Corsi's like plea agreement that he leaked for whatever reason. That it's like around the time he was courting WikiLeaks and Julian Assange for like emails and things like that.
So this is back during the campaign?
Yeah, this is back during the campaign. And the issue with this is that Trump has always claimed, he's like, well, I never heard about WikiLeaks through Roger Stone. I didn't know. I don't know anything about like Roger Stone and WikiLeaks or whatever.
Okay.
But if you start lining these pieces up, you could very well start to see. Now, there's nothing for sure, but if I'm just putting little pictures up next to each other, I'm like, well, look, he was talking to him in and around the same time he's emailing Jerome Corsi about going to send a guy to talk to Julian Assange, and then finding out that there's going to be John Podesta emails coming out and other just hacked shit that was going to drop. It all, you're like, are these calls about him knowing all these things and telling Trump, like, yo, don't worry, I'm going to hook you up. Like, I got these WikiLeaks emails. It's going to be all good. And then Trump goes out and says things that almost allude to the fact that he had heard something from Roger Stone.
Mm.
It's a mess.
It is.
And I love it. And I hate it. But oh, one thing though, I have like another thing to add. Jerome Corsi, he was on MSNBC on Wednesday night, just out here begging for a fucking pardon, which is another indication of how bad the situation is getting for Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi. Because
so explain to me who Jerome Corsi is again.
Jerome Corsi is a guy who's, dude, he was behind the birther shit. He's like the OG birther god. Okay. With Obama's birth certificate. He is like behind the John Kerry Swift boat attack ads. He's like this fucking just shit heel. I think he was like the DC bureau chief for InfoWars. He's just like one of these guys who's just, he's into fuckery. He has a PhD in fuckery.
Okay. And he's like one of Roger Stone's like
And he
operatives.
Works with Jerome. Yeah, they work together. And this was like a thing where Jerome, like basically he was acting as a conduit, another sort of person between Roger Stone and Julian Assange. And then Jerome Corsi had another guy who was in the UK who was actually talking with them. And they were just going back and forth exchanging information about all of this stuff.
Right.
And Jerome Corsi was saying, like, when they pressed him, were like, well, how did you know about John Podesta's emails? Like, if no one did contact WikiLeaks. And he claimed God told him. He said he had a fucking divine intervention.
Oh.
And he just got a feeling that John Podesta emails would drop from it, WikiLeaks, in a serialized manner.
Yeah.
That's like that one quote about, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, former FBI director or, like, homicide chief. And she was like, if I learned anything about my time, it's that nobody ever thinks they're the bad guy.
Right, right.
That was, like, the most sinister, bone-chilling thing I've ever heard.
Right.
It's because, like, and it's true, like, these people don't think they're bad.
No,
they're
just,
like, they've bought their own story.
Yeah, it's like, we're just trying to help the homie win.
I mean, like,
right? That's their narrative.
Yeah, they're like, that's my team.
Yeah,
dude who just killed his wife and daughters and shit in Colorado doesn't think he's the bad guy. So imagine Trump, who like has a whole media apparatus at his fingertips telling him he's not the bad guy. He's never going to believe he's the bad guy.
Well, listen to Jerome Corsi, though, on MSNBC. And you don't tell me that this isn't a guy trying to position himself as like a Trump martyr.
The deal was fraudulent. It required me to lie. And it required me to violate various regulations and even, I thought, commit fraud. And I won't do that. I will not lie to keep myself out of jail. And I realized that I could go to jail for the rest of my life. I'm 72 years old. I might die in jail, but I'm still making this decision.
You think what you're doing today increases the risk that you will be charged, be convicted, and die in jail?
Yes, I do.
That's some hero
shit. He's talking
shit.
About the Mueller investigation. That he claims Mueller is trying to get him to lie.
Right. Even though he's presenting Jerome Corsi with evidence of his deceptions.
Right.
And saying, yo, I got you, bruh.
Right.
Just, you really want to die in jail for this shit?
Right.
And he's saying, yes, Ari Melber, I'm so down for the set. I'll die in fucking jail.
Uh-huh.
But really, and then later on he goes, he says the word fucking pardon in the interview.
Like,
and,
pardon.
No, it's like, oh, pardon me. Pardonnez-moi. Pardon. James, pardon. I don't know what to say. But no, he like said, I'm not looking for a pardon. And like Ari Melber was like, why the fuck are you bringing that up?
Right. Oh, we weren't like, talking about pardon.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, if you were asking, that's not what I'm interested in. Because I might die in jail because I'm protecting the president. Mm. So it's just getting hot.
And on Fox, their analysis of this story was that Robert Mueller is intimidating an elderly man.
Yeah, that was the fucking lower third on Tucker Carlson's show.
Yes. Like, Mueller literally it said, Mueller intimidates elderly man about Jerome Corsi.
Wow. I mean, no, his Mueller team threatens elderly men. Because I think you're talking maybe about Roger Stone, too.
Well, and also, Trump is over 70.
Yeah. But Bob Mueller is fucking older than these dudes.
Yeah, but he's clearly, like, got some sort of magical witch spell going on that keeps him younger. He's probably doing blood transfusions.
I guess so. Hey, good luck to all y'all, man.
I love Trump is just, like, eats McDonald's, like, three times a day.
Yeah.
I know.
He truly just does not give a fuck.
About anything. His body.
About literally no reverence.
Yeah.
For anything.
He's like a true parasite where like survival is the only, that's like the North Star constantly at any cost.
Right.
Because it could look like if this reporting is accurate and like the things that we believe to be true up until this point are accurate, like his family could be going to jail over this shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They all look so guilty and fucking weird, and like their smiles are so hard.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm ready to die in jail.
Ivana.
But like,
or
who
Ivanka.
From, I honestly, like, who from Russia would even agree to fucking talk to Don Jr.? Like, what would they even talk about?
I don't know. Who knows? Just like, hey, you can talk to your dad, right? Like, help us with these sanctions, man. We'll do anything.
God.
Speaking of his family, Ivanka Trump was being interviewed, and they read a quote of her father talking about using lethal force against immigrants. And they were like, why do you think he said that? And she was like, I don't believe he said that. I was like, wait, what? You don't believe he said the thing we have a quote of him saying?
That you just heard him say?
I don't know. Is that him? That was him?
Hey, we all deal with this shit in our own ways.
Can we run that back?
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about that fucking cow, man.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And that cow is indeed fucking huge.
It's still there. Have you seen this fucking cow?
It was just revealed to me at dinner last night, and I was shaken to my core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hungry, right? It made you hungry
for hamburgers? I am famously like a very well-known beef connoisseur and eater. But something about that cow, it felt very haunted, and I immediately withdrew upon seeing it. I was like, something's not right here.
Just from life, your spidey sense.
I was just like, this is extremely sinister sight. So, some, something, someone did something really bad.
Right.
You know? It,
For people who don't know, is in Australia?
Yes, and it is a Holstein steer, not actually a cow. It's just colored like a cow, by the name of Knickers. And you can see...
And it's as tall as fucking Kobe Bryant.
It is literally as tall as Kobe Bryant, yeah.
6 foot like, seven.
It's back. That's how tall his back is.
I feel like he has a lot of arthritis and joint pain.
He looks like a bunch of other cows are dressed up in a cow costume on stilts. Like it doesn't...
Right. Or like a bunch of mini cows are around a regular cow.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just seems like an evil Disney scientist did this.
Yeah. Did they explain why it got so freakishly big? There's like...
No.
One of those things, mate. You never know.
Yeah. The only thing that the farmers seem to be focused on is that it's too big for the like slaughterhouse. So they're just like, yeah, we had to, you know, usually they get slaughtered at age 3, but it's too big to fit in. So we'll just
shoot it in the head and cut his head off and then start breaking it down.
And they're saying that basically because he was too big.
I'm sorry. Am I the only one who's thinking about you eat the fucking meat?
Yeah, but I think in this case, bigger is not better, but that's just a hunch I have.
Yeah. I mean, that rib bone.
Counterintuitive, but.
Yeah, that rib bone would be like a fucking Louisville slug or something. It would be ridiculous. Wait, so that cow, they just allowed it to age because they're like, it was just so freakishly big early on that they're like, you know what?
At 3, it couldn't fit. It already could not fit in the slaughterhouse. And so now it just looks like a Macy's Day float.
Is this a warning sign about antibiotics and growth hormone?
Probably, right?
Yeah.
What if we eat that cow and then we become super fucking huge?
If they had that, please send this cow to me in a time machine when I was 13. Because I eat the whole fucking thing.
So I don't know. The other
Are you just so flummoxed by this?
Yeah,
like,
I
keep looking at this thing. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
The other thing the farmer said is, yeah, I suppose he's pretty big.
It's just like,
yo, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's
man?
Something going on beneath the surface here.
Right. Oh, clearly
that
like,
farmer's Michael Cohen.
Yeah. They murdered a family of indigenous people and like the blood soaked into the ground where that cow
eats
or something. I don't know. It's not right.
There's no like pituitary gland or whatever, you know, like George Mershon, Marfan's type thing going on.
They
with
probably
the cow.
Don't believe in glands. They're just like, it's too
yeah,
big
just
to
keep
slaughter.
Feeding it.
Keep feeding
Oh, wait, it's 6'4 for the record.
For the record.
So it's just slightly shorter than our man, Steph Curry.
So, somebody put the Ringer put together a nice, like, proportion thing, but it was kind of unimpressive because it was like point guards in the NBA.
I was uncomfortable looking at. I immediately had to look away. It looked like an F-150.
Yeah, it does look like an F-150.
I was like, "This is not right."
There's something though, just addicted. I was sort of addicted to looking at the video over and over because I'm like, "Yo, this is not fucking possible.
It should not be real."
What was Paul Bunyan's homeboy called?
Oh, the blue
ox or whatever.
The blue ox.
That's probably what happened then. If this is some like. Actually naturally occurring thing and not a byproduct of our
There's no
science
way it's
gone
naturally
wild.
Occurring.
Right. Well, speaking of no way it's naturally occurring, The Rock, apparently he has like a portable gym that he carries or I don't know if he literally carries it or brings around with him whenever he's on set of a movie. But John Krasinski, our guy on the inside, was... on a movie with him. It wasn't Krasinski's movie. It was Emily Blunt's. But The Rock's like main producer said, no human being has ever been in that gym, which is good to know that they don't think of The Rock as a human being.
Right.
But he just still, Krasinski was, you know, plucky, cheeky enough to decide to that he could get in there. And The Rock actually let him in. And Krasinski said that he had like 40 pieces of equipment in this self-designed gym that he'd never seen in his life. And John Krasinski like works out for a living. He's an actor.
Yeah, who, like he looked pretty ripped in Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
So he was saying, he's like, yo, there was some shits in there. I don't even know how to use it.
Yeah, he said, I walked in and it was like alien spaceships had landed. He has like 40 pieces of equipment I've never seen in my life.
I mean, it could be that or like maybe... It's like a Pilates reformer. He's never seen that.
Right.
He's like, yeah, what the fuck kind of space age shit is this? But I also believe that The Rock is on some other just future
steroids.
Weightlifting shit.
I'd like a little peek inside.
Yeah. You go to the gym?
No.
That face is great.
Pizza, famous pizza and beef connoisseur.
I used to be like an extreme athlete, so now I just
wait. What do you mean?
Like I played volleyball in college.
Oh, okay.
And it was like
extreme
consuming
volleyball?
Life, right. And so now I just sort of walk around.
Yeah. Hey, you did your shit. You played.
too much.
College athletics.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something that The Rock would never eat.
He went on a cheat day.
Maybe. And on that day, he would eat like 5 boxes of this. Hostess Cakes is launching cereals for their cakes, for 2 of their cakes, honey buns and donuts, powdered donuts, which I don't.
Do we have any nutritional information on this?
Yeah.
Monstrosity?
Uh-huh.
Because it's literally, they took like a Cheerio, but made that shit look like a powdered donut. So like a ring, you know, ring cereal that we're used to. And then the honey bun just looks like a miniaturized fucking cinnamon bun.
Yeah, I mean, that could just be like those, what's that, honeycombs?
That
like,
sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, the honey bun looks good.
It looks like a thing that I would never have been able to eat as a child. But now that I'm an adult, I will buy these.
Yeah.
Because look so aggressively unhealthy that it has like this sort of
charm.
Like, yeah, that I'm like, yeah, let's fucking end it with a box of cereal.
Donuts?
Yeah.
Well, they tried to make like it have a little sophisticated flair.
Yeah. Have you ever, that's what they're called in the real size, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Donuts.
They're just, that's the Hostess way.
I guess I'm not super familiar with the line of Hostess wares.
Yes.
What? Yeah, so what other Hostess cakes? Like, I mean, they've got, what, Susie Q's, Ding Dongs? Isn't that them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have all those cream-filled ones. But
wait, what are the
I
other
can't
ones?
Imagine a cream-filled breakfast cereal.
Oh, the regular cupcakes, right? That have like the little white swirl on top.
I know what those are, yeah.
Yeah. And then the Ho-Hos are the ones that are like rolled up.
Right. Those have to be coming. Ho-Ho cereal.
Could you? No.
Yeah. That is...
Sponsored by Fashion Nova.
Yeah, right? Ho-Hos by Fashion Nova. But hey, we'll see. I mean... Every time we think we've reached peak something, we push through and create a more offensive product.
Yeah, like remember when the world almost ended because of the Cronut?
Right.
I still never had one.
Oh, really?
It's not bad.
Really?
It's not like...
They acted like it was like the most earth-shattering.
I think because someone had bothered to combine, you know, the ideas of it. I mean, I had it. And I was like, yo, this is good. I think after the novelty wore off of it's like, oh, it's a croissant in donut shape, then I was like, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
When the sweet tooth is kicking, you can eat it.
I guess, I mean, we've shrunk down Oreos into cereal. We've shrunk down chocolate chip cookies into Cookie Crisp.
Mm, right.
Nice. Well,
But Oreo cereal doesn't have
cream
in it.
No, because I think those are like hoops also. Isn't the Oreo cereal like that?
I think so. I think the idea is that the Oreo cereal turns the milk into the cream.
Why aren't we doing this with fucking savory food?
Because that would be fucking
gross. I just want to know, like, what is a miniature prime rib?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That it's a cereal necessarily, but like, where's our...
That's the line I'm looking for.
Yeah, like spreadable prime rib.
Pork products.
Yeah. Just overly processed.
Yeah.
I guess it's overly processed.
Cured meats.
Yeah. In spreadable form. Like Nduja.
What's Nduja?
That's like a spreadable meat, basically, but it's just like basically like salami or like calabrese salami almost. Like very spiced meat. I think it's a dish from, not Italian dish, but anyway.
Calabrese sounds like a word that I would assume Ghostface Killer was making up when he rapped it, but then turns out.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And Nduja is a particularly spicy, spreadable pork salumi from Italy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I was at some spot and they're like, oh, we have Nduja. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And like, they just gave me a little sample of it and they're like, it's spreadable pork. And I was like, okay, let me get 3.
Give that right chair.
About to bathe in that shit. Okay, and so super producer Nick Stumpf is waving a flag saying there's a pate. I get that's liver though. You know what I mean? Okay, Rietz also.
I like a liver mousse. That's for damn sure.
Yo, Bouchon chicken liver mousse. Shout out to Thomas Keller.
Nah,
you can buy that at the store.
I don't think I've ever had it.
Oh really? Do you like pate?
Sure. I've had it before.
You're not.
Alimento and Silver Lake. Have you been there? The Livermas.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking massive plate.
Yeah.
I just want to eat that in my bed.
Oof. Along with your Hawaiian pizza.
Different day, but yeah.
Different day, yeah. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's clear, but I'm not a foodie.
Yeah, but you like good food.
Domino's allegiance.
But when you eat good food, you're like, oh, that's good. Right. I don't think I've seen you eat a piece of good food. You're like, I don't know, guys.
Yeah. Ew.
Do you feel like a allegiance to Domino's in your heart?
Yeah.
That's dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
You should see his tattoo. It's really funny. It's the Noid. From the late 80s, he got the Noid tattoo.
I just think it's better than the other.
I guess
big
for
chains.
Delivery.
Yeah,
bullshit.
For delivery bullshit pizza.
And you're indifferent. See, you're brand agnostic, it seems like.
Okay,
when it comes
but like I had Domino's recently and I was like, good for them. I know they're trying to reform their entire operation from ground up. And I was like, okay, there's an improvement. But what I do when I do that like mystery order, it's just like someplace down the street, not like a chain.
Got
but
you.
Maybe there is more quality control with shitty pizza from a like a chain.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is they probably have like more at stake with not poisoning you, you know.
Sure, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a
the franchisees,
beautiful
yeah.
way of
more at stake for not poisoning you.
They will be in a lot of trouble if they kill you. So they have a lot of, you know, stops in place.
Jack, what do you think about Steph Curry?
I think
that's a hard pivot. But this is a basketball story.
This is a basketball story.
We're gonna pivot on this.
This whole show has been a basketball story and we're bringing it around. No, I think he's great, man. Like, I think I admire him for, like, you know, trying to go in a different direction with his shoes, be they ugly as fuck and just a complete mess. You know, he seems like a nice guy. He seems like one of those people who just can't do a thing with his body that doesn't look like it is how God designed it to be done.
Wow.
Like, have you seen him swing a golf club?
No.
Holy shit. It's like the prettiest golf swing I've
ever
seen.
Better than Tiger Woods?
It's just like beautiful. Like, Tiger Woods is like, you know, he really
his
like
form is,
whips it.
Yeah,
but,
that swing portrait.
Yeah. Whew. It's just pretty, man.
How do you feel about Steph Curry? Are you shrugging?
He's the one person that you still get
stretching.
It.
Oh.
I think Steph Curry is a phenomenal athlete. I love a small guy in a big game that just destroys.
Mm-hmm.
He can move so well. Incredible pull up, like incredible drive. I like his integrity and commitment. You know, I think that if you have integrity, it pours out to the rest of your life. Not everyone is born with superhuman talents like that, but right. He's got the combo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's really doubling down on that because this next story will warm your heart. Yeah. A 9-year-old girl wrote to him with this concern. And she said, "Dear Stephen Curry, my name is Riley, just like your daughter. I'm 9 years old from Napa, California. I'm a big fan of yours. I enjoy going to Warriors games with my dad. I asked my dad to buy me the new Curry Fives because I'm starting a new basketball season. My dad
nah, they're ugly as fuck.
He replied, fuck out of here. You are Nikes. My dad and I visited the Under Armour website and were disappointed to see that there were no Curry Fives for sale under the girls section. However, they did have them for sale under the boys section, even to customize. I know you support girl athletes because you have two daughters. And you host an all-girls basketball camp. I hope you can work with Under Armour to change this because girls want to rock the Curry Fives too. Sincerely, Swagless Riley." And so Riley then got a fucking wonderful reply, a handwritten letter from Steph Curry. Wow, he has a very similar block letter writing to mine almost. Anyway, he says, "Hey, Riley, I appreciate your concern and have spent the last 2 days talking to Under Armour about how we can fix the issue. Unfortunately, we have labeled smaller sizes as boys on the website. We are correcting this now. I want to make sure you can wear my kicks proudly, so I'm going to send you a pair of Curry Fives." Now, and you'll be one of the first kids to get the Curry 6.
Damn.
"Lastly, we have something special in the works for International Women's Day on March 8th, and I want you to celebrate with me. More to come on that, but plan to be in Oakland that night. All the best. Hashtag ruin the game."
Damn.
So,
that
wow.
I actually feel that in my chest.
Yeah, me too.
That is beautiful.
First of all, let it not be underrated how great her letter was in the first place, because that is how you get shit done.
You're she set
now
up.
Now, I know you are a fan of women athletes,
so
having daughters yourself.
So this struck me as odd. Right. Do you care to comment?
So, perfectly done. She's going to be the president one day.
Yeah, suffice to say, they switched up that website. They came correct on the website.
And then, obviously he's the best.
Yeah. Wow, and she get the first pair of Curry Sixes, so she'll be able to get made fun of even more intensely.
Right. I'm gonna start writing letters for shit I want.
Right.
Yeah, but like,
see what happens.
But you do it seem like you're like 10 years old.
Yeah. Right.
You never come out and say it.
But I know you said this.
Right.
Here's my address.
Right.
Bitch.
Whoa. Whoa. I'm 9. P.S. I'm 9.
Oh shit. Yeah. I mean, he's the best. He's like, I'm a basketball fan, and like, I don't really have like rooting allegiances unless my dad's working for a team. So like, I just root for players, and like, he's one of those dudes like LeBron and like Jordan who they're just like doing things you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like when he gets hot, it's insane. Like it's just like a different level of, I don't know. Like,
when you think about that team, and then you get Klay Thompson in there too, who equally has like disturbing moments of consistency. Not like as consistent as Steph Curry, but like that game 2 weeks ago, I got freaked out. I called the police on him.
Look, they won 73.
I went to high school with Klay Thompson.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
What was he like?
Tall?
Harry Potter?
Younger than me, but like our families knew each other.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, I think he's a good guy. I think he has like all his same friends from high school and stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you have all your same friends from high school?
Some of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
I have most of
comedy really alienates you from a conservative high school.
I know.
right.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Oh, yeah, because you're from Orange County, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, RIP the OCGOP. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, were there moments when like someone saw like your comedy and like, I don't know, Blair.
I think like my brother probably likes, I think they, I mean, everyone I know in Orange County is a Republican. Like, I didn't know one Democrat.
Oh,
I
really?
Still don't know one Democrat that lives in Orange County.
Right. Damn. That isn't white.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes
highly homogenous area. Yeah.
That makes the fact that they lost every seat really pathetic for the GOP.
Well, I mean, the area is changing though too.
Yeah,
it's not just,
that's true.
It's not just the old
it doesn't
OC.
Feel like it down when I go there, but that's good news.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like I know that to be true by what happened, but like I can't see it when I'm there.
Right.
Yeah.
Shit.
Day by day though.
Well, Blair, it's been wonderful having you here.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the net. My Twitter and Instagram is at Blair Socci, BlairSocci. I also have a weekly comedy show at Genghis Cohen in West Hollywood every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Nice. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
My friend Justy Dodge wrote one today. It was very simple, but it made me laugh. She said, first date idea, cancel. I don't know if tweets really read out loud, but
no, they do.
They do. Yeah, it's the visual ones we have trouble when we're like, okay, this is a meme where it's that one photo. Y'all know the distracted boyfriend.
It's very funny.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. On tomorrow in Chicago, Saturday 1st, we'll be at the Chicago Podcast Fest. But those tickets are sold out, so. But you guys will be quick next time. Some tweets I like. Just because we were talking about Full House yesterday, this is a Reductress one that says, ready to feel old? Michelle from Full House is now two people.
Reductress is so fucking funny.
I love it.
They're the best. I'll just go with a tweet about knickers. Somebody just screen capped an article that said, massive cow named Knickers has been deemed too large to eat. And they tweeted, did Knickers write this? You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles.
What song are we gonna
Man, we just need some feel good right now. We need to feel good. And this is a little throwback to the year 2004.
I feel good.
When, thank you so much. When a small band called The Go Team dropped an album called Thunder, Lightning, Strike. And this was like, well, I was in college at the time, and I was just getting turned on to music that wasn't rap. So I would like be like, all right, let me fuck around with some new music. I'm in college, I'm doing like other drugs now. and this is a song called Feel Good by Numbers, and it's just a nice little piano ditty that it's not really like a groundbreaking track, but it will get your toe tapped.
All right, we are gonna ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. So have a good weekend. We'll see a bunch of you out there. Talk to you then. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.